and they said, "We've never seen your kind of product before."
This entrepreneur cracked the code on how car dealers could make more money while consumers pay less. But then came the hard part, actually building it. Today on the Car Dealership Guy podcast, I'm speaking with Jim Roche, CEO of WarCloud, a software company that is transforming the car business.
But before we dive into the show, this episode is brought to you by CDK Global. CDK Global has been empowering nearly 15,000 dealers with the tools and technology they need to build deeper relationships with customers. Their team is keenly aware of the state of dealership technology, and while many vendors promise seamless experiences between your CRM, DMS, digital retail, and fixed ops, most of these bolt-on solutions tend to break workflows and cause more harm than good. That is why CDK has launched a new dealership experience platform. This new integrated software consists of everything you need to operate a dealership efficiently while delivering an unparalleled experience to your customers. Basically, everything working together, not separate, one system to run your dealership as opposed to 10. CDK developed it with an outside-in approach, listening to dealers every step of the way. You can learn more about CDK's dealership experience platform by visiting cdkglobal.com/dxp or clicking the link in the show notes below. This episode is also brought to you by Private Auto, the first transactional marketplace that enables a safe and secure way to buy and sell vehicles privately. Private Auto provides a self-service platform that removes the middleman and uses proprietary banking technology. This allows buyers and sellers to safely complete a private party sale on their own at any time. They've thought of it all. Identity verification to avoid scams, an e-bill of sale to simplify the paperwork, instant transfer of money between buyers and sellers, and so much more. Learn more at privateauto.com and use code CDG to list your car for free. Lastly, this episode is also brought to you by WarCloud. I'd like to thank WarCloud for coming on as a guest and also supporting this podcast. Jim Roche on the CDG podcast. Jim, welcome.
Yossi, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you on. You know, it's not very often where you get to bring on someone that has built a company that's truly changing an industry. And I don't say that lightly. I feel like your product, I spoke with some friends who are dealers. I'm very familiar with WarCloud, but I did speak with some dealers prior to this podcast. And I said, what comes to mind when you think of WarCloud? And what was very interesting to me was that it was like the sentiment was around, It's like something that we don't know how we worked without it prior, right? Like people don't know how they used to operate before WarCloud existed. And to me, as you know, a marketer, like that tells me that you're doing something right. So anyways, we'll let you explain how we got to this point. But I just want you to know that, you know, I did do some homework and I love hearing that because that means that, you know, product market fit is just very, very strong and you have a strong value proposition. So anywho, that's my two cents on that. To kick it off, can you tell the audience a little bit about yourself and your background?
Well, sure, I'd be happy to. I'm smiling as you just gave that introduction because, you know, we recently had NADA, and I don't know how many you guys, I mean, probably the audience has been to many of them, but there's a sort of a sameness to NADA. You know, I always ask people when I'm there, you know, what did you see that was a wow? And I can't tell you how long it's been since somebody came back and they said, well, I saw a wow. I mean, there's always a new CRM or a website and an app. But the last one, and I'm not trying to toot our horn, but, you know, it was, hey, WarCloud seems to be the wow. And I was asking some dealers why that is. And they said, we've never seen your kind of product before. You're a category creator. And that makes me smile, right? And it kind of dovetails into what you were just saying that, you know, it's something new, it's fresh, we're solving a real problem. So that is really encouraging. Sorry, I digressed a little bit.
No, and I will tell you, I think in general, something that's, this isn't exclusive to automotive, but I think naturally many times what gets a lot of the attention is the shiny objects. and even more so on the consumer side, right? And so I think thinking like, oh, B2B, behind the scenes, service, submitting warranty. I mean, it's very dry. But at the end of the day, that's where there's a ton of opportunity that isn't so visible to the market. and put WarCloud aside for a second. I think this is what I just think about our industry in general, right? I think about where is there inefficiency. Generally speaking, where are there opportunities? I think that service, you know, I've been seeing a lot of things pop up, right? Like I personally invested in like an AI software for phone calls for the service center, right? Something that like automatically scheduled. So the point I'm trying to make is like, it's crazy that even today you can call up a service center and no one picks up your phone. It's just crazy to think about that, right? So
right.
Anywho, tell us, how do we get to this point? Where did all this get started, Jim?
Sure. Well, you know, I started working with dealers and service departments right out of school. You know, this is probably 35 years ago now, and just fell in love with the industry and with dealership people. You know, I back in the napkin at one point, figured I'd visited over 2,000 dealerships over those 35 years. So seen a lot of things, and started creating companies using technology to solve specific problems. Or I was an entrepreneur early into a company. You know, I did something way back when that was called NewGen, which is now Epsilon. You know, founded a company called AutoPoint, was one of the guys in something called XTime, which is now part of Cox. And then that led me to found WarCloud. And the genesis story really quickly was that, you know, through visiting those dealerships, if you open enough closet doors, eventually you find a little room with stacks of paper up to the ceiling, and that's the warranty clerk's office. And to me, as an entrepreneur, always looking for ways to help optimize inefficiencies, stacks of paper was always, hey, there's a sign of inefficiency, right? But it was a really astute service leader friend who pointed out to me when I was discussing this with him, he said, you know, that's not a stack of paper, that's a stack of uncashed checks. And that was really sort of the epiphany of, oh, wait a minute, you know, tell me more. And we founded WarCloud in 2014, 10 years ago, hard to believe, thinking that it would take us a year to develop a solution. And it took us over 7 years, which really speaks to the complexity of the problem we're trying to solve. But we came to market in 2021. And before I knew it, yeah, I just called up dealer friends and said, hey, I've got this idea. And, you know, they said, hey, you know us, we know you a long time, we'll try whatever you got. And before I knew it, we had about 50 paying dealers. It started to feel like one of those right idea at the right time kind of things. Fast forward now, we've got coming up on 600 clients, and, you know, it's really going gangbusters. So that was kind of where how we got here.
Yeah. So, you know, you're a 10-year overnight success, as I like to say. Now tell me about, you were at Cox Automotive, right? I saw an overlap. Explain that to me, right? Like, you're an executive at Cox Auto, you know, running XTime, you know, at a senior leadership. What happened and what convinced you? What gave you that push to say, I'm going to go out on my own and start building this product?
Well, first of all, I wasn't the leader of XTime. I was one of the leaders at XTime, and then it went into Cox. And then for a while, I was the Cox, you know, service department subject matter expert, wrote a couple of books on it, you know, that kind of thing. But we incorporated WarCloud in 2014, but I'm not a programmer. So we had the idea, we knew what we wanted to do, and we started doing the development. And I had accepted the position at XTime, you know, sort of, okay, we'll do that until we're done with WarCloud. And as I said, it took 7 years, and a lot of money in the early days came from me. So that helped me fund the building of WarCloud while I was doing XTime and then Cox Automotive. But I'm an entrepreneur at heart. You know, I've always been that guy that liked the small companies or the startup energy. So in late 2019, I think it was time to transition over, because we were starting to feel like we had a solution that was ready for the marketplace. So I was sort of back home, if you will, when I came into WarCloud before we had any customers.
This episode is brought to you by my very own Car Dealership Guy industry job board. CDGjobs.com, my industry job board connecting the best talent in automotive with the best companies, will remain absolutely free for CDG listeners to post and fill available roles at their companies. This free job board is for anyone in automotive, vendors, dealers, lenders, manufacturers, auto tech, everyone. Already, over 100 companies have posted open positions, including Lithia Motors, Recurrent, Credit Acceptance, Viros Credit, Cars Commerce, Shift Digital, Plug, Full Path, Westlake, Trade Pending. You get the point. The best part is that when these companies hire through cdgjobs.com, they are hiring the most informed candidates in the marketplace. So don't hesitate. You can add your open roles today by visiting cdgjobs.com or clicking the link in the show notes below. That's cdgjobs.com.
So just so I understand, you said you launched in 2014.
you went to market in 2021. Did I hear that correctly?
You sure did.
How the hell do you survive a 7-year feedback loop?
Well,
like what do you do? What goes through your head? I think anyone building anything, you could be building a dealership. I mean, how do you, like a 7-year feedback loop? Think about me for a second, right? My feedback loop on content is like 30 seconds. It's like you put something out there to the world. If it's the world tells you this. If it's amazing, the world tells you it's amazing. 30 seconds. I have right away. I can tell you if this is going to, you know, if flop, if this is right, this is wrong, I made a mistake. 7-year feedback loop. How do you do that?
It's a long learning process. So you start off with this idea, hey, let's automate warranty processing, right? How hard can it be? Famous last words. And you build a solution that works with one DMS and one brand. And you're like, okay, there we go. We're done. Well, wait a minute. The other DMSs work differently. Oh, wait a minute. All the brands work differently. Oh, wait a minute. All the dealerships work differently. So as you work to try and scale a solution that will work, I mean, you know, our target market is dealer groups, right? Which is sometimes it's one DMS, sometimes it's two or three, but it's also multiple brands. So to try and bring a solution to a dealer group, you've got to have that breadth and that scalability. In conversations that I had with service leaders and dealers, I knew that it was a pain point for them. And as we worked through, we found out what the true costs were of warranty claims processing. And that really put us on the right path. As an example, what we found back in those days, it's since increased, but it appeared that the cost of warranty claims processing consumed about 6% of the revenue from warranty work, which I know. I mean, that is a huge bite if you know anything about the typical cost of claims processing. And the last thing was that we just saw that no one was stepping up. You know, I expected, frankly, I was surprised in 2014 to find out that no one was tackling this problem. And over the years, I expected, you know, one or two or three other players would join, but nobody did. Well, that speaks to the complexity of the issue. And maybe what you talked about, you know, it's a little dry until you realize how much profit potential is there, and then it becomes not dry.
Oh, I bet. So let's just simplify this for a second for anyone listening that's not familiar, right? You go to a dealership, you get warranty work done on your vehicle in the service center, right? The dealer needs to submit that to the manufacturer to get reimbursed for that work, right? Because the dealer is not paying for that, right? That was a manual process. And I think, again, the other interesting part for me was asking people, hey, on average, prior to automating this, how long did it take you to do this manual process behind the scenes? And I heard like 5 days, 6 days. That was more or less what I was hearing from some people, and it varies. And then I asked, okay, so with this now being automated, like what is it taking you? And, you know, I've been hearing like half a day, stuff like that. So again, just found that as an interesting data point. But I go back to my explain it like a fifth grader, right? You are pretty much, like you said, I love your heuristic of like, hey, where is that room with the pile of paper? That's what I want to fix as a entrepreneur, as a tech. I mean, that's just brilliant because that's exactly what you're going after. I want to ask you a bit of a different question, right? We know that this market is challenged with affordability. And that means that people have less disposable income. And that means that they have less to spend on service work, right? What is the future of like servicing vehicles in general at the dealership look like? And are we headed towards a world where the majority of work done at dealerships will be bigger jobs that will inevitably fall under on the manufacturer's balance sheet? They're going to be ponying up that money, right? How can people, at a certain point, consumers cannot afford these massive jobs. And so will we get to a world where it's really, hey, I'm either going to the dealership to do these massive jobs, they're going to be under warranty, or I'm doing small jobs. I know that's a mouthful, but like, simplify that. Like, where's the world headed with respect to work being done at dealerships for consumers?
Yeah, great question. So over the next 3 years, we are projecting a 20% increase in warranty work at the dealership that will be driven by two things, one obvious and one very not obvious. The first obvious one is we're going to sell millions more cars in the coming years, which means millions more warranty covered vehicles will be on the road. So great. That's good for dealers. The other, though, is that J.D. Power released some information. They've been tracking the warranty costs on EVs. And what they found is that on average, the warranty cost in year one on an EV is 300% higher than an internal combustion engine. I know, right? That's the one where you don't see that coming. But it's got to do with complexity and cost of components. So your guess is as good as mine is how many more EVs we're going to sell in the coming years. But we do know that there's over 150 planned to be launched in the coming years. So the mix is going to tilt more and more toward EVs, which I think means higher warranty costs. But what that also means is that we know an EV with 50% fewer moving parts has less maintenance opportunity. So, you know, the two primary revenue streams in a service department are customer pay and warranty. So I think that dynamic means that we're going to see a continued shift, more warranty work, less customer pay. And I think that the other thing, the other tilt that we see over time, well, there's several. I think that as vehicle costs go up and they get more complex, I think the manufacturers may lengthen and deepen the warranties that are on these things. And then just a completely different one, but I think we're seeing a lot of energy now around mobile service and pickup and delivery. And I think that is something that we're going to see continue. You know, I've been saying for a couple of years, I think I put this in my second book, that the decision dealers are going to have to make is, do you want the car to come to your service or your service to go to the car? And I think the final answer is it's got to be a mix of those if you really want to retain customers. So,
at a typical dealership, what do you see as the split between customer pay work and service center versus warranty pay?
Yeah, if you look historically, you know, it's about two-thirds being customer pay, one-third being a warranty. But that's where I think the dynamic is going to shift because there are going to be few maintenance opportunities. Maintenance is always customer pay, and it's going to tilt more toward warranty. So I wouldn't be surprised in the next 3 to 5 years if we see that becoming almost 50-50.
And when it comes to the manufacturers, give us like the behind the scenes. Do they play nice when it comes to paying these warranties? I see you're smiling. Are there some that play nicer than others? Are there some that, you know, maybe don't play so nice? Like, give us the scoop. What happens here behind the scenes when it comes to the manufacturer dealer relationship?
Well, every OEM has their own sort of proprietary bureaucracy or administration for processing warranty claim submissions. And it's interesting because if you think about why they have those bureaucracies, there are actually three reasons. The first one, far and away, is the most important. But what they want that data as quickly and as correctly as possible so that they can analyze it and then ripple it through the supply chain to get in front of quality problems. I mean, if you get in front of a quality problem before it's out in a significant number, you know, out in the wild, you can save tens and tens of millions of dollars in costs. So the most important reason why the manufacturers want that warranty as quickly as possible is to analyze it for quality control. The second and third reasons are related. They want to prevent fraud and they want to prevent error. You know, and those are related reasons. Well, first of all, WarCloud checks all three boxes because we get the claims within 24 hours and we get them as correct as possible. So in that context, you know, all the OEMs are going to be nice, assuming that you're getting the claims in within 24 hours and they have a higher degree of first-time submission correctness. As far as, you know, who plays nice, who doesn't play nice, I mean, it varies by OEM. You know, we find they all have their positives and negatives. For whatever reason, and again, this isn't WarCloud, this is just what our dealers tell us, you know, Toyota, Lexus dealers, Honda dealers tend to speak very positively about the warranty submission process for their dealers. But we hear that from lots of them. That just seems to be predominant for, you know, for whatever reason.
Diving a bit more into service, right? What are the main metrics, would you say, that the service lane, quote unquote, how is it being judged by automakers? What are the key metrics that, whether you're a dealer or a consumer and you're listening to this and you're wondering, when I step into that service lane, we know, well, okay, what are they incentivized to do? what metrics are they incentivized to hit?
Well, sure. I mean, yeah, I mean, in the service lane, and let's just talk about the breadth of the service experience. I mean, the manufacturers want to drive very high CSI or customer satisfaction because that has a direct correlation to retention, to loyalty, right? And when you have a loyal customer, all of the data shows that loyal customers come back more frequently. And when they come back, they spend more and they're less price sensitive because they feel they're getting better value. And you know the old saw, you know, sales sells the first one and service sells the ones after that. So, you know, great service experiences, loyal customers mean to more and more vehicle sales. It's a virtuous cycle. The stuff that's embedded in that is, you know, you want convenient scheduling. You want a prompt and thorough write-up. You want regular updates. You want the vehicle when it was promised. You want it fixed the first time. But all of those things roll up into this customer satisfaction score, which ultimately drives retention.
And then in terms of retention, tell us a bit about how that is measured, right? And what are you seeing as best practices?
You know, retention is measured slightly differently from OEM to OEM. You know, has to do with, you know, your PMA, your primary market area and things of that nature. But it's how often does the customer return to you, whether you bought it from them or whether you bought it from another dealer, but you're in that primary market area. How often do they come back? And maybe more importantly, do they continue to come back when the warranty period is up? Because that is a major point of defection. In terms of the experience, the, you know, what people are looking for more and more, I think pickup and delivery and mobile service are major drivers of loyalty. But once someone comes to the dealership, one of the things that I think dealers could do a much better job on is providing the option of technology-enabled experiences. You know, we all manage our lives based on that device we've got in our pocket. You know, being able to schedule from your phone, getting updates on your phone. You know, I mean, give the option of a high touch experience. Sure. You know, if you want to wait in the waiting room or you want somebody to call you, of course, that's the way it's always worked. But being able to manage that experience, not high touch, but through your device, I think is a huge opportunity for dealers to drive loyalty.
This is one of those rare cases for the car business where it's sort of a win-win-win, right? Meaning the car dealer is more profitable with being able to collect this cash flow faster from a manufacturer. The consumer is more inclined to get better, faster service because the car dealer is getting their cash flow reimbursed faster from the manufacturer. So it feels like it's sort of a virtuous cycle where everybody wins. Do you measure, like, have you seen what impacts this has on customer experience specifically? And I ask that because, again, I feel like we have a lot of, you know, and I'm talking about the last couple of years, you have the Carvanas, but you don't have the service Vanas. And I say that kind of facetiously, but I'm also serious again that it's sometimes the biggest opportunities are actually lurking behind the scenes. And so what impacts have you seen or have you been able to kind of measure by what you're building on actual customer experience?
So the warranty claims process is pretty invisible to the consumer. You know, happily, they bring the car in, it gets things done, and then they pick it up and they're gone. The warranty claims process, getting the dealer paid, is sort of out of sight of the typical consumer. But what WarCloud does is it helps the dealer get paid more accurately and faster. That, of course, creates a healthier dealer financially, which is great for everybody. One thing that's really down in the weeds is, you know, technicians forever, service techs, have been concerned or complained about the labor times, the amount of money that the manufacturer will pay for a given service. And that's a source of technician dissatisfaction. So one of the things you have to do and that WarCloud does is you have to make sure that you sweep the corners of every claim to get every tenth you're legitimately entitled to get every administration fee so that you optimize the amount of money that you're getting paid for that claim. That helps with technician satisfaction, but it also creates a healthier dealership. So while the consumer doesn't directly see or is impacted by those, they're important from a dealer side.
Yep. Like I say, yeah, it's all interconnected. So tell us about the biggest issues you're seeing today in the dealership service lane. What are the biggest areas of opportunity? We're off the crazy hype of 21, 22. Things have cooled down. Things are much more stable, right? So what are the biggest areas of opportunities that you're seeing today?
Yeah, I smile because, you know, I use the term, it's not raining money anymore. And hey, God bless America. When it's raining money, I mean, it's a wonderful thing. But in my experience, and this is seen over decades, the auto industry is a pendulum, right? And it swings back and forth between a focus on vehicle sales and a focus on service. And the pendulum is now swinging back. It's swinging away from vehicle sales and it's swinging back towards service. And if you just look at the key metrics in the industry, I mean, margins, you know, we're seeing margin compression really coming back quickly on new vehicle sales. Wholesale prices on used is tough. F&I income is down for a variety of reasons. The regulatory environment is tightened up. Interest rates are up. And those are all the reasons why the pendulum is swinging back to service. Historically, you know, service contributes more than 50% of total gross generated by a dealership. So you always want to be paying attention to it. But it's becoming even more important because, you know, that pendulum is swinging back and the market factors are making it more difficult to make money on the variable side of the house. So, you know, what do you need to be doing there? Well, the things you should always do. But look, you can't focus on everything equally all the time. What you should be focused on, number one, is running a tight operation, right? I mean, you know, you need to be focused on getting cost efficiencies, making sure that, you know, you're leveraging technology wherever you can, and you're focused on the guest experience, as I said. So you're creating loyal customers who come back more often, aren't as price sensitive, and ultimately want to buy that next vehicle from you. So, you know, at a high level, those are the keys today, although they're, you know, you should always be focused on those.
When we think about what you just said, focusing on service and experience, who's the one of the most impressive examples of the dealership service experience in America? Like, I'm curious to know, you visited a ton of dealerships. There has to be someone in your head right now that you're like, wow, they just crush it. And here's why. Is there someone that comes to mind? And if so, like, what is that experience like? Try to put us in that scenario.
Sure. Well, I mean, you have iconic dealers that everybody knows about. You know, you have your Sewells that are just, you know, worldwide known for their hyper-focused on the guest experience. I'll tell you, one of my favorite dealer groups for focus on the customer is the Fred Beans Group, primarily headquartered out in Pennsylvania. You're smiling. I take it you might.
I'm smiling because I just got connected to Fred in an email about a potential podcast. So I'm going to send this to Fred and be like, now you have to come on.
Fred and his staff. So a gentleman by the name of Julian Dragos runs his service departments. I think Fred has 25 stores now, but they just have a hyper focus on the customer. They are always looking at the processes, you know, how to continually improve. I tell you a quick anecdote. I wrote about this in one of my books. I was out visiting Fred, this is going back maybe 10 years ago, and it was winter time, and Fred and I are going to dinner, and he's driving, and it was dark, and we're driving by his Ford store in Doylestown, slams on the brakes, throws it into park, and says, I'll be right back, and just jumps out. The car's still running, right? And I was like, oh my gosh, what happened? Fred disappears. About 10 minutes later, he climbs back in, shuts the door. And he said, sorry about that. I said, Fred, what happened? And he said, I saw a customer in the showroom and no one was talking to him. And I wanted to make sure that they were taken care of.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. Right now, this is a guy who's been a dealer for 50 years. Right. At the time, I think Fred was in his 70s. But an unattended customer was stop the presses. I got to take care of it. There's that philosophy of customer care that just comes from your DNA, and that permeates the whole organization. Now, They invest in a technology-enabled experience. They're very advanced. They're very progressive, but there's that culture that is just take care of the customer first. So as you can tell, I get all excited because I've experienced it firsthand, and I'm glad to hear, you know, you're going to talk about a podcast with Fred, you know. And if you want to focus on service, Julian Dragos, his service guy, also embodies that whole customer focus.
You know, I think at the end of the day, if you as a business can make a customer feel a certain way and you can scale that, right? I mean, at the end of the day, like, that's a brand. And if you come at the dealership and you look at it from a hospitality perspective, I really, really feel like, to your point, it makes a world of a difference with any business. But like, I think about this all the time. Everything we do, everything we put out, I ask myself, like, how do we want our audience to feel? What do we want them to get out of this? What's the benefit? And ultimately, every touch point builds that brand. So I think, well, I love that story because you're right. It's the small things that permeate through the organization and that attention to detail. That's really what makes or breaks the business long-term and the brand. Well stated.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it really comes back to culture. You can layer the technology-enabled experiences on top of it, but fundamentally, it comes down to just the whole organization being focused on making, optimizing that guest experience. And that's just not something you can create in a minute. You can't create it through hanging up a sign. You've got to embody it, and it's got to be deeply embedded in your DNA. So I'm glad you enjoyed it. We're really glad you're going to be talking to Fred. He is a hoot in many, many ways.
Jim, talk to me about the future. I mean, you've done some amazing things. How many dealers did you say you're working with right now?
We're coming up on 600.
Wow. How have you attracted these dealers? Has it been like word of mouth or?
Yeah, it's mostly word of mouth. You know, I mean, when we first came to market, I just started calling my friends, including Fred Beans. And like I said, it just started to feel like one of those right idea at the right time kind of things. You know, being a guy who did X Time and before that Auto Point, we had always been about software, you know, a tool that the dealer used. But we really pivoted in a different direction for WarCloud. WarCloud is a service. You know, we take over your warranty processing. You have an app that we call Chirp that is a window into what WarCloud is doing. But mostly, you know, 99%, we do all the work, which means we don't have to install technology at the dealership. We don't have to train your people because changing human behavior is always the hardest thing. So that's right. Been a real sea change. And, you know, the idea has just taken off. Once it was clear that this was something that the market really wanted, we hired a direct sales team whose job it is to go out and just talk to dealers and talk to service leaders, identify where there's a need, where there's a problem we can help. And of course, now we started to do things as we've grown. For example, as you heard, we were at NADA, our second year with a booth there. You know, I do a lot of thought leadership like this in talking to people because warranty processing isn't something that we've talked about ever. I guess it goes back to my earlier comment about, you know, creating a category that's new. But it's important, and it's becoming increasingly important for dealer profitability as we go forward in time because the mix is going to shift more and more to warranty, and you've got to optimize profitability. So I think, to come back to your original question, where do I think we're going to wind up? I think that I think the pendulum is swinging back towards service. I think that service, if you look at the two primary revenue streams, warranty is ascendant, and optimizing profit just across the board, but particularly as warranty revenue grows, is going to be critically important. And of course, just generally, you should always be looking at the latest technologies to find ways to optimize efficiencies in your dealership. You know, it is getting harder and harder. The competitive environment is getting more and more difficult to manage. So you've got to leverage technology and new ideas in every part of the operation. And of course, that's one of the things that we're doing.
Well stated, Jim. And before we wrap up, I want to ask you one final question. And that is, what is the most surprising thing you've learned throughout this journey? Right? As you really descended and gone to all these dealerships and really picked up the process and built technology to streamline, yada, yada, yada. But what have you learned or what have you seen that just surprised you about the operations of a dealership or the way things have been done up until today?
I mean, the first big surprise was how much of the gross profit of the dealer is attributable to service. I mean, that wasn't evident because so much energy, so much investment goes into selling cars. Now, that has shifted over the years, but we're nowhere near the focus that we should have on fixed operations given its profit contribution. So I think that that's a big area of opportunity. is just really making sure that you're making key investments, considering that it's over 50% of total dealership gross. And I think another thing that has been surprising is the what I would consider to be the sort of the slow lack of adoption of modern technologies in managing the businesses. I mean, if you look across any other way of life, I'll give you an example. While we are talking here, I could have my phone in one hand and I could book airfare to China, hotel and rental car, round trip. Could you do that today with a service appointment or some other aspect of the dealership experience? And I think generally speaking, it would be a lot more difficult. And I'm not sure it needs to be. So, you know, and part of that is that there is a lack of integrations across the experience. There's a lack of technologies that talk to one another. But I think there's really some opportunity there to step up and adopt technologies quicker that just improve dealership operations and the guest experience.
And you're putting your money where your mouth is. So I'm excited to see how you keep building from here, Jim. Thanks for coming on. This has been really, really just amazing conversation. Love the story about Fred. So we'll definitely send that out. And I think people really appreciate it. If anyone wants to learn more about, of course, you and WarCloud, we're going to throw the link up in the show notes below, direct link to your website. You can check it out. You're doing some great stuff, Jim. Thanks so much for what you're doing for the industry. And I'm sure we'll talk a lot more in the future about what you're up to.
Thanks for doing what you're doing. You know, you are one of the top, if not the top, I think you're one of the top two or three trusted brands in automotive. And I think that's in part because this has been just a fun experience. A lot of great, important questions. I'm glad we're able to pull it together. And I would love to come back sometime, give you the follow-up story.
Appreciate you. You got it. Thanks, Jim.
Thank you.
All right. Hope you enjoyed that episode. Please give the podcast a rating, consider subscribing to the show, and check the show notes for links to what we talked about. Thanks for tuning in. I'll see you guys next time.